Hello, everyone. All right, let's get. All right, Mama, what are we coaching on?
Well, I've been looking back over my notes. You know, last October I did the 2-day, mm-hmm. and we talked about some of the things that I was starting with my doctorate program and stepping into some leadership roles and advocacy roles, and that's been moving right along. I am doing things, learning things, stretching, growing, you know, just really feel like I'm making a lot of progress.
Okay.
And what I want to talk about tonight, though, is taking risks, being bold, and how that feels vulnerable. And even though, you know, I was just going back and looking at my TDLs since January, you know, and it's this underlying theme of what if they think I'm being too bold, or what if they tell me no, or what if, you know, and so I've modeled around that and TDL'd, and I came to a point in March. We've had a huge transition in leadership where I work. And so it's brand new people. I mean, it's really, they don't know me. They don't know my experience. I've been there 6 years. I was in a position of being kind of the senior person for the past year until somebody else came in. And even so, this other person came in, I'm still more experienced than they are. So I'm trying to kind of walk a line between being bold enough to say what I need to say and say it from a place of advocacy, which mm-hmm. I think I do a pretty good job at. And even if I do get told no, I still come at it from a place of I'm being an advocate. And that's my underlying thought and my underlying belief. But what I came up with just as I was preparing for the call was, you know, the taking risks, being bold, feeling vulnerable. But here's, I think, the key. Back in January, I had written down some notes from something you were writing, where you were talking about beliefs, and you said, suspend the belief that you are the old you. Do it when it feels scary, doubtful, and hard.
Right.
And so that's where I want my coaching tonight. It feels doubtful. I feel doubtful. It feels scary. It feels hard at times. Yeah. Yet I know and I'm confident that I'm on the right path. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to Kathy Hartman recently, and I was just like, you know, I remember listening to her on the first podcast back when you guys were first starting, and just to hear the change in her voice, in her confidence level. Like,
so what do you think your problem is then? Because I don't hear a problem at all.
I'm not sure that it's so much a problem. I do feel like I'm on the right track, but I guess I'm really looking for like some tips and insight and maybe
on you doing things that you're not comfortable with.
Yeah. You know, speaking of.
Yeah, you just do it.
I know. So why does it feel better?
It feels better after about the 30th time you speak up and you get used to getting negative feedback and moving on. Okay. That's when it starts feeling better. When it starts feeling better, when you do it often enough that it doesn't work out for you, and you keep moving forward, that's when it actually feels better. Most of us think it feels better when it works for us. It's like, I spoke up and everything was amazing. That doesn't help you build confidence, and it helps you build confidence in success, but it doesn't help you build confidence in like, yeah, I can like totally do shit I'm scared of it not work out and keep going. Who knew? That is like, that's the hard, that's the part of the like all of it nobody wants to sign up for.
Right.
So when is that vulnerability shit going to stop? Like never. Just like I'm going through a lot of it right now, you know, and people ask me like, aren't you stressed? I'm like, no, I'm not really stressed. And they're like, well, is it because you just believe everything will work out? And I was like, no, like I've got all kinds of doubts and stuff. I'm just not going to stress about it. We're just going to do it anyway. The only way I'll know if something works is guess what?
Just do it.
You do it. And I'm always up for failure and I'm always up for success. Because I know that no matter what, I can handle it. That is when, like, there's, so feeling vulnerable, there's two ways to do it. There's, I'm scared to death to be vulnerable. It sucks. And you resist it and you do it anyway. And it's the painful way to do it. Then there's being vulnerable thinking, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to have a few doubts. I know my brain is going to think those things, but I really want to start changing my life. And in order to change my life, I just got to do different things, things I'm not used to, saying things I'm not used to saying, asking for things I'm not used to asking for. That is the part that's uncomfortable. It's not because, like, I want you to shift from understanding that the ask and the doing and stuff is the uncomfortable part, just simply because you haven't been doing it. Most of us, what we do is we are actually not suffering true vulnerability. We're suffering the fear of being vulnerable. And you have to get past that. It's like, so like when you ask, when is it going to get better? It'll get better when you don't care if you're vulnerable. It's not exactly like, yes, thank God could give you the answer. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. Got to feel vulnerable.
I was thinking you could give me some homework that would just fix this right up. You know, I am in school, so.
The only thing I can tell you to do is to drop the expectation that how you're feeling about challenging yourself and doing new things and being, you know, not knowing if it's going to work out and stuff, that all of that is just the normal part. We're supposed to like go through that in our brain. Like all of that is supposed to happen. The problem is where we meet the fork in the road of, okay, the goal is over there. Am I going to fear and judge all of my feelings that don't feel good first, then feel them and then get there? Or am I just going to be like vulnerable? But I want that so bad. I'm willing to risk it all.
So is the doubt just really a part of the process that you just, that's kind of like your currency? Like you have to go through that part?
Yeah. And you ask yourself, why am I doubting? Am I doubting me? Or am I just doubting because I've never done it before? There's a big difference. Like if you think about doubt, when you doubt, like when I doubt things, I rarely doubt me. Like this is the thing. Like I always know I'm going to give it 100%. I always know I'm going to try anything and everything. I always know that I'm willing to risk a lot. But what I don't do is I don't sit around and doubt me. Like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, that's, I don't know if I'm that kind of person. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really scared of what other people are going to think. That is self-doubt. You may have process doubt and goal doubt and things like that. Like, there's lots of things that I try and do all the time that I have a lot of doubt. Like, ooh, I don't know how that's going to work out. So I better just get to like trying some things so I can make the mistakes real fast and figure out the one that's going to work. But I rarely think like, I just don't know if I can handle that. Like, ooh, that's more of like me doubting me. So you ask yourself when it comes to self-doubt or when it comes to any doubt, like what is the doubt rooting from? Is it rooted in me or is it just normal? Like if it's rooted in you, you work on you and you work on your belief in you. Your capacity, because the only time we doubt ourselves is when we don't think we're going to have our back on the other side. If we're going to make our failures mean something's wrong with us, we're going to like take up the volume of self-doubt 100 times. If you really believe you'll always have your own back, you'll learn from things, you know, you'll always recover. Because that is the funny thing. It's like everybody always thinks it's going to be life-ending or whatever. And it's like, no, like you're still here. You have failed so many times. Life never ended. You never lost your house. You know, like we always think these tragic things. And it's like getting your mind brought back down to reality. So I would, if I was you, you know, identify your vulnerability. Identify like where are these feelings truly rooted in? Is it because it's an inward thing? It's like a me thing? Or is this just normal? Like, yeah, like I feel very vulnerable a lot of times when, like when I do different things, like when I, especially when I do stuff with Brooke, like when Brooke asks me to teach, like it's one thing when I teach you guys, I'm like, I'm the boss. So my confidence level and everything is like off the charts. When it's somebody else's baby, and this is the people she loves, like I love you guys, and I'm going to step in and I'm going to represent her brand, then my vulnerability and my self-doubt and stuff, that comes into play. And that's when I work on me.
So is that like in your head? Like I was looking back at my TDLs, you know, just writing the stuff, just putting it down on paper. And I was just like, wow, there are so many days when I wrote, I feel like a failure or I'm a fraud or, but I'm not really buying into that. Like, I don't feel invested in that. It's just like the running background chatter. And then once I'm aware of it, I'm like, yeah, but of course you're going to feel that way. You're trying new things. You're stepping out of your comfort zone. And, you know, like one of the models that I wrote recently, I mean, after I wrote it, it was just like, wow, that feels so much lighter. It was like, okay, I'm invested in being an advocate. There's no one better than me to advocate for this population. Yes. I know what I'm doing. You know, I don't care if they agree with me. I don't care if they tell me no. I still have to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of the switch. So I guess my question is, the chatter, it's almost, is it like fat girl thinking almost? That's just kind of the background noise.
It kind of is. What I would do is I would just like, I would write those things out and then I would argue a new truth. Mm-hmm. I think for you, you just have had it for so long that it feels just true on the inside. It may not be running the show anymore, but it's just there. And it's just like your brain is just stating the news. Oh, by the way, Melanie, did you realize you're a failure? You know, that kind of stuff. You may not be sitting around acting on it. You may be what we call in between models all the time. Like, you're very aware of what doesn't work, so you don't really buy into it anymore. You're not 100% over here, but you switch models a lot. So like when one starts, you know how to pause it and you know how to get into the new model. So it's just going to take continual practice of doing that.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry too much about it. I'd just be looking at when you have these feelings, like knowing that they're normal and just being really curious about where are they rooted? Is it rooted in me or is it rooted in the process? Because the easiest one to fix is always the process one. Like, I just don't even fix it. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to plow on through. Yeah, doing it anyway.
The process would be, what would be the difference between the me problem and the process problem that you just brought up?
So like, for example, like when we launched on the tribe, you know, I always have goals. Like, I always know how many members I would like to have, that kind of stuff. A process doubt would be like, you know, that's, I don't know. We would need, you know, everything to work right. We cannot have tech problems, like all this other kind of stuff. There's like doubt in my mind that everything's going to go perfectly. Mm-hmm. Now, if I set a number and I sat around going, I just don't know if I can do stuff like that. Like, oh my God, I don't think people like me enough. I don't know if I'm smart enough to pull this off. It's a very different conversation. It's all about me being the problem.
Okay.
Rather than like, you know, I'm troubleshooting, like, you know, is the tech going to work? Is, you know, like, is the team going to have, you know, enough training to do X, Y, Z, you know, like whatever it may be. That's kind of the difference. That's the easiest way for me to explain it.
So if I'm in a process problem, I'm looking at, okay, I tried this avenue. I was told no. I still feel this is important. How am I going to go about this in a different way? How am I going to explain this differently? Or what resources am I going to pull in to show this is really important or how much impact this has?
Yeah. It's the difference between like how you're going to get there and who's going to be driving the bus. Like in weight loss terms, here's a really good example. Doubt and fear and vulnerability and all that stuff would be, oh my God, I've never not counted points or used a calorie app. I'm not sure how this is going to work. I'm scared to death, but I'm quitting the Weight Watchers today. Mm-hmm. That is when somebody is feeling all the doubt, the insecurity and the fear and everything. And it's a process that they're afraid of. Like, it's like, all right, I got to just put trust that this will work. the other person would be, well, I have never been able to not count calories. I have always been a failure at it. If you look at all my past diets, I have blown it. I don't trust myself to eat food without having math involved. That's a me problem. That's me having a fear of food. It's mm-hmm. me not trusting myself. That's my doubts about my strength, my ability to, you know, figure it out and stuff. Versus the other is like, I don't really see how all this shit's going to work because I've never done it this way. But I believe you, so let's do it. You know, like I doubt the process, you know. That's probably the best example because, I mean, we've seen a million people in the tribe come in and they hang on to those Weight Watcher points like, you know, like just, ooh, you can't even rip it out of my cold, dead hands, you know. And then some people are like, oh, my God, I'm going to throw kerosene on it and I'm scared shitless and blah. That's the difference.
Yeah. Okay. So just keep looking for the process problem, not the me problem.
Yeah. Be okay with when you're feeling those feelings, don't create a process problem. Make sure it's not a Melanie problem is my thing.
Okay.
Just make sure it's not you being the problem because you're never the problem. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate skill. The ultimate skill in our thought work is to never feel like we're the problem. Like anybody can say things, tell us no, we can try things, we can do all these things. And it's like, if we always just have a firm understanding that we can figure anything out no matter what, then you have self-confidence rather than self-doubt.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Good stuff, lady. So I see you next week, right? You coming to this one?
That's right. I am.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Good night. All right. She always has such insightful calls. Rebecca. And if you're getting coached, make sure you raise your hand. Kat and Beth Bender, you're also on deck. Do you have your unmute? Now Zoom requires you to do all the unmuting.
Yep, I got it.
Here we go. Well, how are you, ma'am?
I literally just walked in the door from coming home from the hospital with Rob.
Okay. Is he home?
No, he's still
at the hospital? Okay.
The CAR T-cell treatment that he had a month ago didn't work.
Okay.
So we're...
Did you post about this in the Facebook group? Did I read this?
You posted that. I posted he was going to do. I just found out last night.
Okay.
That it didn't work. So okay. I haven't posted about it yet. So we talked about other options and there's other things we're going to do. So I was really proud of myself last night. I had a good long half hour cry, took a shower, watched some trashy TV and did not eat.
Good. Because so, it won't fix anything, which we know.
Exactly. That's even what I wrote. I said food won't fix this. So
yeah.
But that's actually not what I'm talking about today.
Okay.
Brag on myself a little. I have registered my coaching business as an LLC.
Awesome.
I've been ADHD coaching for a while. I trained about almost 6 years ago. Fell into some clients by accident. And I realized that, and I know I have my compelling reasons for wanting to do it. And in fact, I Corinned Rob today and I made him write his compelling reasons for beating cancer.
Mm. Nothing like some good CRs to get you going for the day.
Corinning is a verb in our household. my thing is, I haven't tried doing necessarily businesses before, but I've tried doing like Avon and stuff like that. And I've worked in sales. I was at one point the top skincare salesperson for Bare Minerals in our entire region.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I can't back when I worked for them. So I know when I believe in a product, I can sell it.
Right. However,
I'm not good at going and getting those clients. I'm very good when they come to me. So I guess I want to kind of figure out how to become you.
Well, you say fuck a lot.
I already say that. All right.
But step one is accomplished. You need to teach that to Kathy Hartman.
You know what? I'm going to make it to camp this year, but I'll try the next time I'm there.
I will tell you, one of the things that you said is when it comes to selling, Well, there's a few things that I think are super beneficial. One, you have one of the most important things, which is when you really believe in what you're doing and you have a strong passion and stuff, the selling is the easiest part because you know that what you have, people desperately are going to need. Like, I don't ever think that I have to sell what I do to people. I just know that what I have is so good. Like, it breaks my heart when people don't want it. Like, it literally, like, you know, when I read people not wanting it, like, I am in pain, like, for their future self. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, you know, oh my gosh, that's just like one more person I could have had. It's never that way. So when you're thinking about, one of the things I think is so important with selling is you need your whys. Why is what you offer so good? Why is it going to change someone's life? Like, I like to sit and think about my person all the time. Like, I think about you guys all the time. What is she in pain about? What is she confused about? What does she not know? What does she most need help? How is she feeling? You do the same thing for the people that you're doing. You need to, like, in a, like, a New York second, be able to talk like they're thinking. That's like one of the most powerful things. So it's like really believing in you and your ability to help them and why you're doing it, like having that strong dialed purpose. And then secondly, getting to, like, you have to love your customer. And loving them means, like, it's like getting into a marriage. You want to know them like you know Rob. I mean, I just think that that is the, I don't know if it's the magic of Corinne, but it is because I fucking care so hard is why it's like, I don't ever think about, like, well, it's sales time. Okay. Like, I have to think about it. I'm always like trying to get someone to realize, like, I believe in you and I think I know how to help you get what you need. So you do the same thing with your ADHD. Is it ADHD or ADD
coaching? It's ADHD. They're used interchangeably.
So with your coaching, like, you find, like, you need to do, like, what we do with future self and stuff. You know, what are your compelling reasons? Why are you doing all of this? What does it mean to you? Like, you need to start with your purpose and your heart about it. Because, I mean, you can learn sales techniques and you can learn all, like, how to write and how to do all that stuff. That has to come last. I'm working with a group right now. Brooke has me work with this one group. And you can tell the ones that care deeply. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the ones that are, like, just trying to have a business. And if you really dial in first and foremost your purpose for doing it and why you're doing it, and part of your why can be income and stuff. But you need, like, it's just like when we do weight loss. Sometimes we want to look sexy and sometimes we want to live a long time and sometimes we want to, you know, not have arthritis and sometimes we just want to feel normal. You know, we'll have 20 different reasons. Same thing with when you're going to be doing a business. You got to have all the reasons.
Right. I've started with some of my compelling reasons for the business.
Yeah.
I have started to do some of that and I'm starting to figure out what I want to do for my, like, free course to get people interested and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm kicking around a couple ideas with that.
All of that will come easier and with less trial and error when you intimately know why you're doing it and you have a strong passion for doing it and you know your person like the backside of your hand. Then when you're talking about, like, you know, like your freebie, like my free course is literally, I have two versions. I have the one I started with and then I rewrote it. The one I started with, I was so passionate. The second one was diehard passionate. I worked so hard on it because I was like, this is absolutely what somebody must know to start losing weight. Like, I wasn't thinking, like, this is the one that's going to build an email list. Like, I literally led with, if somebody gets this, I know they can start losing weight. And so, like, that makes those things that you do, it makes every, like, when I write email to my clients, like, all the future ones, even the ones we write inside the tribe, I'm always telling the girls, you need to write like you're in their head. You need to write to our most overwhelmed, desperate girl we have right now. Every piece of content we write always has to be written to her. Same thing with my emails. I always think, if this is like, this is the last thing she reads about weight loss, I want it to be the best thing she read about weight loss. So like when you always are leading that way, the sales part and getting the clients becomes way easier. Those things, like all the tactics and all the strategies and stuff, they become a no-brainer to implement because people will want what you have because they know you give a shit. That will rise you above everybody else who's coaching the same thing you are.
Okay. And when it, I'm also going to a couple of like business networking things coming up, and I'm not necessarily very good in those situations. And it's
awkward.
Awkward.
Thought work.
Thought work.
You need, like, I want you to watch this video again, and I want you to highlight everything you've said out loud with your own mouth that says, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. When you're going to be in sales, you cannot afford to ever think it or speak it. You have to say, I'm learning. I'll figure out how to get those skills. Do whatever you have to do, but don't say those things. It's the same thing like with weight loss when people tell me I'm not good at, you know, like I can't quit overeating or whatever. It's like, stop saying that. Say you're working on it. Like, always watch how you're talking. Because here's the thing. When you're selling, if you don't clean up your personal language around you, you'll say crazy ass shit that somebody will be like, I don't know if I want that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Listen to Brendon Burchard's podcast.
Okay.
It's really good. He's a great coach. He his high performance habits. You might even want to read his book, but he just talks about all kinds of stuff. But he also has some programs on selling that I think are good. But I think he's also not cheesy. And okay. There's a lot of them out there that I would be just like, that's a no. But there's some that are really good. I think he's good. And then I don't know if you listen to Amy Porterfield's podcast. If you're going to be doing it in the online space, I would definitely listen to Online Marketing Made Easy with Amy Porterfield. Best podcast out there for that.
Okay. I have started listening to Stacey Smith's.
She's great too.
So I listened to her first three that were like the three steps.
Yes.
So,
I'm in a mastermind with Stacey. She's the real deal. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. So, and you know, I like her format of like the three easy steps. So,
yes.
And, you know, some of them are like, I'm like, okay, that's something I can easily do. That's something I can do. You know, I'm going to a network thing in two weeks. I can do that there.
Yes. So one of the nice things about Stacey is that she's Brook trained. So she's going to be, her podcast is always going to be talking about the sales thought work side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I really like Stacey's stuff. Amy, her podcast is going to be more around the actual tactics, like how to set things up and how to get things done in a very good, efficient way that works. Those are the two I would just forget Brendon for now. Stick with those two for a while. Really listen to a lot of them and listen to them over and over again. That will really help you, especially in the coaching space.
Okay. Okay, I do have my website is up, and I do have I have the ADD side, but I also do want to get a little bit into life coaching and not necessarily always ADD, because ADD, most people who are trying to get ADD coaching are parents for their kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's also dealing with the parents, and one of the reasons I teach where I teach is so that I don't have to deal with parents.
The only problem is the parents have the money.
I also wanted to open up a little bit of like the life coaching side so that not all of my business has to be always in the ADD, mostly with the parents. So it'll give me a little variety. And I'm one of those people, I like variety.
Okay. Just watch your niche. Keep it narrowed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen to a few of them where they talk about not – the only bad thing about business is you have to learn how to not love variety as much. You're going to eat an ADD salad every day and you're going to like it. You'll do fine, mama. I know you.
What was that? I'm sorry.
I said you will do fine. You will do great. Listen to those two podcasts, Amy Porterfield and Stacey Smith. They're asking in, who's the other one? Stacey Smith. What's her name for a podcast?
Bowman, B-O-E-H-M-A-N.
Yeah, but what her the name of her podcast though is
How to Make Money as a Life Coach.
Yeah, Making Money as a Life Coach. See, she even brands well. She's like me. Like, what's that podcast about? Losing 100 pounds?
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to be like, what do you do? It's like, I don't know, teach people how to lose 100 pounds. So yeah. All right, lady.
All right.
Questions. I'm excited for you.
I'm excited too. Part of the reason why I want to do this is because I'm going to have to be taking a lot more time off of work with Rob, and I'm running out of paid days.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need some income that I can do that doesn't necessarily have to be done on somebody else's schedule.
Yes.
So
welcome to the world of entrepreneurship. It is wonderful. I love it. Yeah. It lets and me you- pick up my son. Let's me go take walks with him when I want to. This afternoon, my mom is in town, and she came over with my niece, and I got to help my niece pick out jewelry for her prom.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I know. You just get to do so many things when you're an entrepreneur, you know. Now I'm going to have to work until 8 o'clock tonight, but I had the afternoon off to spend time with my family because I wanted to. So it's always cool.
I remember prom. I went to 5 of them. I loved prom season.
That's the way my niece is. She's like, she has no boyfriend. She's friend with all the guys.
Yeah.
And she's like going to all these proms. And I'm like, girl, better play. She's like, and I want to wear a different dress for everyone. And I'm like, better get a job.
I did recycle dresses, but I went to one prom with a boyfriend. The other 4 were with friends. Also being in theater, I had a lot of
friends. Yes.
But they're the best to go to prom with because they never want to get off the dance floor.
Exactly. She's just one of those girls that just gets along with everyone. And she's always saying, she's like Logan, neither one of them want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They're just like, it's too much drama. They're just like, no, you know, so I'm like, just do that.
Yeah. And it helped, you know, I've always been friends with the guys. My husband, Rob, will even say that, part of the reason he married me is because I'm half dude. Like I don't think like a typical girl most of the time, except when I do, he doesn't know how to handle it. I'm like, sometimes I'm a girl. So you just have to deal with
me. Exactly. Don't forget my hormones. All right. Well, tell him I said hello.
I will.
All right, lady. Hang in there.
Talk to you
Bye. Soon. All right, Miss Kat, it's your turn. And Beth, go ahead and raise your hand. You'll be next, honey. Hey, lady. We just coached a few days ago. Did we coach on the regular calls? Oh, you're still trying to turn your volume on. Did you find it? It's at the bottom. It says join with audio. Oh, Betsy, by the way, I emailed Zoom myself today and complained about this feature. Well, hello.
Hello.
What are we coaching on today?
Anxiety.
Just a little light anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to go to the retreat in October.
Okay.
And it's over that, but I also have like really bad, anxiety.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want help with?
I don't know, like maybe getting over some of the anxiety.
Anxiety about camp or just anxiety in general or
both?
You want to start with camp?
Sure.
Or do you want to start with something sooner?
let's do sooner.
Okay. Tell me something that you are having some anxiety over, like in the more present.
This call, for instance, like,
okay.
I always think that, and I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong because I've been working on a lot of this. I always think that my time with you is not important. You know, like someone else can use this time. Someone else with more pressing issues can use this time.
So I'm sure there is someone like that. Why do we care? You signed up. You're important.
I know. Like, see, I told you, I know this stuff. It's just very loud sometimes.
It is very loud. But here's the thing. How do you want to think about your anxiety? Because you're going to have it. And all those thoughts are not going to go away anytime soon. And they may even stay for your entire life. Let's just pretend they do. That'll be fun. Let's just drive your anxiety right up the,
yeah.
The thermometer. How do you want to think about, let's think about your anxiety rather than trying to run from the anxiety. Let's just pretend it's always going to be there. Right now, your thought is, I need it to end. How do I get over it? Right? Mm. Or what is your thought about your anxiety?
I really don't want it anymore. Like I want it gone, but I know it's probably not going to go away.
So the want is going to be painful for you.
Yeah.
It's like when I gave up wanting depression to go away. Now when I get depressed, it doesn't have authority over me. Because it's like, yeah, today is just one of those days that I'm going to like not feel great and I'm going to have to keep moving or accommodate myself in some ways, meet myself where I'm at. I don't get worked up that I hate this. I wish it would go away. This is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. Like, let's really think about if you're going to have anxiety for a long time and it's not going to go away. How would you want to be thinking about it if you could pick?
I don't want it to be so pressing, so like there. Like, I understand that everybody gets anxious. I do. Mm-hmm. I've had anxiety my whole life. Like, everyone thought I was shy or it was test anxiety. Like, no, like it's been this bad my whole life.
Yeah.
I also have bipolar. I've had bipolar since I was young.
Okay.
PTSD.
Okay.
Have agoraphobia, which is a fear of wide open spaces. I also have claustrophobia. Full spectrum. But like, I understand I'm going to have these, like, no matter how much weight I lose, I will have these issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want them to be so present all the time. Like, the depression part, the bipolar has actually been okay. I get my sleep most nights. And I noticed that my mood is better. I work with a great little mini tribe. And without them, I probably would not be on this call right now because I would have canceled.
Good. I'm glad you didn't. I think this is one of the things I want to tell you. How often are you doing some active work on giving yourself credit for doing things despite all of that?
I guess here and there, like I don't sit there and say, well, because I have the bipolar or because of this, I'm doing okay. Like, I look at it like, this is where I was. Like, I had a call with you March 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew we'd just seen each other recently.
Mm-hmm. That, something in that call clicked. I sat down that night and I wrote out my commitment list. There's 13 steps. Mm-hmm. I posted it online in the tribe and in my mini tribe, and like something that they clicked. And then like I talked to another member of my mini tribe, and something she said clicked. It was something like, you have to make the decision to make the change. How bad do you want it? I write that almost every single day at the top of my 24-hour plan, which I've made 41 days in a row.
Awesome.
These are all just the little things. It's like the little building blocks.
Yes.
And it's working. And like and the other thing is, like, I always had problems loving people and accepting love. Now I can say I love you to somebody and I mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Little things. But the anxiety is what's killing me.
I think that one of the things that I think will help is, like you had said, I don't want it to be so pressing. When it's pressing, that means that you've got to press back with a counter argument. So like when you, I would like for you to do even more work, like you're doing great work, but more work on some daily, like it would really help you, like 5 to 10 minutes writing about how you would like your day to go. Like, here are the feelings I want to feel today. And here are the things I'm willing to think on purpose today. And here are the great things I did yesterday. Like, really channeling your brain to go in a new direction. Like, it's literally going to be like going to the gym and learning how to lift weights. It's going to be real sore in the beginning. Because your brain wants to go to anxiety. Your brain's going to want to go to these old thought patterns. And that's okay. Because that's the way it's supposed to happen. Like, if you could change it on a dime, I would like figure out what we said and I'd go sell that shit on the black market. But it's going to be you actively practicing. And I want you to think about, like, this is like me going to the gym every day, doing this kind of work. Like, I really think for you, like, thinking about, all right, like, you know, you want to feel less anxiety and stuff. It's like, okay, so what is the feeling you would like to feel each day?
Maybe a little bit more happiness or
okay.
Acceptance, maybe, like.
Any of them will work.
Huh?
I said, any of them will work.
Yeah.
So just pick a new
acceptance. Acceptance.
Acceptance. Okay. So like what I would do is every single day is like, today I'm going to practice feeling acceptance. And to feel acceptance, I'm going to need to think these things actively today. And I'm going to need to do these things today to prove that I am accepting of myself. That is like when you really, like, I swear if you will commit to doing 30 days of that, like, and you can pick a new word. Like, you can do acceptance for a little bit. If you want to, like, maybe today you wake up and you say, today I really want to feel happiness. I just want to feel happy today. So in order to feel happy, I need to think these things. And when I'm thinking these things and feeling happy, I would probably do these things today. And then you plan to do them. And you count on anxiety trying to put its nose in the way. And you do those things anyway. And you prove to yourself that you can decide how you want to think and feel on purpose to do the things that you really want to be doing in your life. That will help your brain start retraining to let go of the anxiety. It feels like it needs it. It wants to protect you. It doesn't know how to feel accepting. It doesn't know what to do over there. That's why it stays away from it. It's very comfortable with anxiety because it's like when you're anxious, you probably give yourself what you need. Now we want to give it to ourselves in a whole different way.
Okay.
I think you can do this. And I think you're already doing a lot of stuff that you don't even realize you're doing. Like when you get on calls and you really don't want to, when you're even considering coming to camp, when it drives anxiety, like when you're already, like when you're allowing yourself to even think about those things, that's a step in the right direction already. Whether you do them or not, like give yourself credit for like expanding your brain, like coming up with a mini tribe, doing, what'd you say, 47 days? 41 days. Like when you talk about these things, you want to really like bathe in the idea that your brain is already, like, you know where you want to go and your brain is trying to go there. It's just, don't make it mean that because you still have anxiety and sometimes the bipolar kicks in and all this other stuff, that means something's going wrong. Just know that's just a part of how everything works. And that's it.
All right.
It will definitely, if you don't judge it, that'll lessen some anxiety.
Right. I'm really good at judging myself.
Never say that again.
I know. I'm just saying.
I'm learning. Someone who is terrible at judging themselves.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Really am. This makes me feel good. This is a call I feel good about. Sometimes I feel like I kick puppies. Today I feel good. All right. You keep me posted, okay?
I will.
All right, lady. And you sign up for camp.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, my God. I just love her. And I love the name Cat because I have cats. All right, Miss Beth Bender. Oh, I have a little picture. Where'd you go? The beautiful vision board.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't think I'm going to be a kicking puppies call because I'm not really a puppy, so don't feel bad. I can take it.
Well, good. I haven't kicked a puppy all day. I don't want to start now.
Okay, so I was really thinking about how to put this. So I think one of the things that holds me back in my life is like this bullshit story that I tell myself about like being tired all the time and being low energy. I just don't.
Did you say what? Did you say that story has helped you?
No, it's bullshit. It holds me back.
Okay, hold you back. I thought you said it helped you, and I was like, that helped?
Oh, God, no. No, and I think it's not a time management thing, because, and this is not of like me being focused on having too much to do or like being busy, because I'm not. You know, I do not. That is not the issue. It's more this mindset that I feel like I'm kind of at capacity with what I can handle, and where it creates problems is that I find myself, what falls by the wayside is like my personal development work and like professional development. So, I mean, like I'll get up every morning and I do a meditation and a TDL and a model and a 24-hour plan and the assessment. And then I would really like to, I always want to do like more PMT work or read a book. And I kind of run out of time in the morning. And so then I just get like further, I feel like I'm further and further behind and that I'm not making any progress.
Oh my God, you're so far ahead. Jesus, when you said all that stuff, I was like, how can I get her to tell the rest of the tribe to do this?
but in terms of, okay, so like I still have not finished Atomic Habits, and I started it in February. I have now bought the book twice, because I bought the book and I bought the audiobook, and I'm just still not doing it, because I go to do it and I'm like, oh, I'm too tired. I'm going to listen to a sillier podcast. And what I noticed, so for example, the February Queen's Club Habit Challenge, where that was one where we're supposed to put three things to improve on or work on every day. And I just like, I tried it for a day or two and I was like, okay, I can't do this. It's too much. And it's like, I tell myself that, but then so I never get to what I feel is the really important work.
Yeah. You're going to need to do it while you're tired.
Okay.
Or you're going to need to quit telling yourself you're tired. You've got two options. If you really want to do the work, this is literally what has to happen. You're going to feel tired and you're going to listen to Atomic Habits instead of a silly podcast.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I know that sounds like earth shattering.
I think it's,
oh my God, Corinne, you're like the Buddha.
No, I know. It's just because I feel like, oh, I just don't have the mental energy for that. I don't have the mental energy to read a book. So I'm going to watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. That's just called an excuse. It's like saying, I deserve it. I'm just going to eat a Snicker tonight. I had a rough day. Okay. It's the same thing, just in a different way.
Okay, so how do I ladder up that thought? Or just suck it up?
I would probably just suck it up. Like, I would just prove to myself that you can do some stuff tired. Until you start getting the benefit of doing it, and you actually notice that it's not as much work as your brain is making it out to be. And then you don't argue with yourself as much. The best way to quit using an excuse is to just stop using an excuse and suck it up and do it. Like, I would just plan. Like, I'm going to listen to 5 minutes of the book. Start off with 5 minutes. Just say, like, that might feel like bullshit, but the ultimate bullshit is me watching Grey's Anatomy instead of doing it. We're going to break the habit of making the excuse first. So 5 minutes of listening, and then literally at the 5 minute mark, you turn it off. You don't get to be like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought, so I'm going to listen to some. No, because what will happen is you'll miss out on Grey's Anatomy. And then tomorrow when you want to do it, your brain will be like, yeah, but yesterday you said 5 minutes. That turned into like 30 and we didn't get to watch our show. And then your brain will come up with all that other shit. Start with like a week of saying, okay, every night, whatever it is you want to do, I want to practice listening to the Atomic Habits book 5 minutes at a time while I'm bone-ass tired. I'm going to overcome that first hurdle. It's like breaking it down into a realistic plan. That's really all we're doing. Then the next week, you can decide, do you want to increase it or not? But literally, if you did it that way, within a month, you'd have the book finished. If not sooner.
See, this fascinates me because I've used this strategy at work and like when I was a musician for practicing for years, where you can do anything for 5 minutes, you can do anything for 15 minutes. And 9 times out of 10, it turns into a half hour or whatever. And then I would feel good about getting work done. But so you're saying, don't let myself do that. Really and truly just stick to the 5 minutes.
I would do the 5 minutes at least for the first week. I would prove okay. if your story is locked that you're too tired. What is it? Tired, and what's the other thing?
Just emotionally exhausted, or lack of energy.
Like lack of energy and tired. Like you are identifying as that person right now.
Yeah.
You need to not try to become the 30-minute to 60-minute scholar every night right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would just like literally let your brain indulge in the idea like we only get 5 minutes. This better be the best 5 minutes of our day. Like this is it. That's all I get with my atomic habits and I have to just stop it. Do it for a few days so that you can start seeing that you're not as tired as you think you are. Because this is what will happen. You'll do the 5 minutes and then you'll stop. You'll want to listen to it more likely, or you may not. Mm-hmm. You may legit be tired. And on those days, like, thank God I didn't have to do anymore. Or you will want to do it. And then you can start remembering. I just tell myself I'm tired and lack energy. And that's a story I've been telling myself. I wonder where else in my life this is popping up. So tomorrow mm-hmm. I'm going to do 10. That is how you start unidentifying as that person. You've got to like let it present its actual bullshit to you.
So I can think of about 3 or 4 different things in my life that I do this with. So would it be a bad idea to like start off by doing 5 minutes with each one of them, like every day or a couple times a week? Or would you just stick with one?
I don't know. Somebody who lacks energy and is bullshit tired all the time, should they start with 4 or 5 or should they start with 1?
Okay. All right. Now you're kicking puppies.
I'm just saying the obvious. I always like crack up that y'all are like, you, Corinne, you're so smart. And it's like most of the time I literally repeat exactly what you say and you're like, oh.
Well, I guess I was kind of viewing, so like there's my personal development work and reading that I want to do. And then like at work, I mean, I have like a shelf full of books on my office that I keep saying, if I just read 15 minutes to half an hour a day, I would get through those. But so I shouldn't try to do like the Atomic Habits and like How to Fundraise or whatever the hell this book is.
I would finish one.
Okay.
And I would check that thing off your list and feel so proud and prove that somebody who's tired and lacks energy can finish books. Maybe I'm not as tired and unenergetic as I believe I am. And start questioning that story that you're telling.
Yeah. Well, and so maybe this will be my, like, I don't want to for the month or something. And, you know, the funny thing is I read like 50 to 60 books a year. It's not like I never finish books. So you're right. That is like some bullshit I've been telling myself.
I think you need to quit telling yourself you're tired and you lack energy. I think you can just tell yourself there are times I choose not to do stuff and it will never be because I'm tired and lack of energy anymore. It's a yes or a no. And I don't need a grand excuse for it anymore. Because I think there's part of it is when you identify as that person, it's like, it sounds good to say that. Like, oh yeah, I'm so tired. You know, like I slay, you know me. You know, a lot of us, I mean, if you think about tired, I'm so tired, is the same thing as someone who says, I'm so busy. It's the same thing.
Right, that's true. Says,
I have no balance. I'm just a people.
Well, yeah. You know? I guess I do often feel like I should not be as tired as I am. And I mean, it's possible. I could potentially have like a medical condition. We're looking into this, but it's not like anything major. And it frankly, it's nothing that like I can take a pill or a vitamin and it's going to be better. I'm just going to have to like live with it. And we're talking like really mild.
And it's not even living with it. It's quit telling yourself you're so damn tired and you'll feel different. You may not feel like going out and, you know, rock climbing. But I'm going to tell you right now, when we sit around and talk about how bad we feel, how tired we are, how exhausted we are, how stretched we are, how stressed we are and stuff, it never feels good.
Yeah, so you're right.
The emotional energy of even saying and thinking it sucks.
Oh, it's like playing in your shitty diaper.
Yeah. And it's like, if you just like, it's just like with me, nowadays, if I ever say I'm busy, it sticks, like, I'm like, oh my God, I can't even believe that those words came out of my mouth. And I will immediately say, oh, I'm not that busy. Because I have decided I'm never going to be busy ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I am always going to have, like, things to do and a plan. And I'm going to get everything I possibly can done today. And just, like, and what I can't get done won't get done, which is just the truth. I never have to say, I'm so busy and stretched and oh my God. It's like, we don't need to excuse all that with these words because they never help us feel any better about the exact same life we're probably going to live anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be able to upgrade it a little bit. People always ask me all the time, like, aren't you stressed? Aren't you so this? It's like, no, I'm really not. And it's not because I'm just like sitting around going, thumb up ass. It's because I don't believe that that's me. And I had to work on that. I had to separate from that identity because that identity felt terrible.
Yeah.
For me. Just how about you ban this month ever say, like, just do like I do with ban busy. So I will not say I'm tired or lack energy one more time this whole month. What will happen is you'll try to say it and then you got to say like, ooh, ooh, no, I'm not tired. I am just sitting here. Trying to decide, Grey's Anatomy or not. That's all it is.
Okay. See, I always feel so stupid when I get on these calls because you say something and I'm like, oh, right. As my 12-year-old son would say, it feels like glaringly obvious. But
my friend who coaches me, she states my Captain Obvious stuff all the time to me. We Marco Polo each other every day, our thought download, and she tells me the news that I'm stating her. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, you know, we don't notice it when it's in our brain. That's the good thing about getting coached or talking to other people and letting other people be like the honest reflection of what we're saying. Is it just makes it easier for us to see it. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the best teleteacher I ever had was really gifted in that too. Just like find the real little thing that's like, okay, you dumbass, this is what you're doing. And oh, problem solved.
Well, I like that cello teacher then.
Yeah, he swore a lot too. You would like him. He beat me with a loaf of bread once, so you know.
Oh my God, a loaf of bread. You should have said, dude, don't you know this got like gluten in it?
Well, this was in the 90s. We didn't know about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
gluten was still good. It was low fat.
Yay. Light and airy bread. All right.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, Queen's Club, this is a fun call tonight. Man, I have been entertained. Thank you so much, guys. Y'all have a good month, and I will see you, I think it's like May 1st or something. I don't know. I'll see you the first Wednesday of next month, too. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.